like to welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Debbie.
Hello.
Hey, Debbie.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Okay. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively, which are across the main foyer and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence all cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep disturbances and distractions to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundation of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not aligned with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And we are discussing step 11 tonight. And I have the pleasure of introducing our panel. We have some out-of-towners here tonight. We have Scott and Tula, and they will give you all their details when they start sharing. We're going to start with the 11th step. I've got gifts up here. Let me uncover my step here. All right, so step 11 is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So we start the first reading on page 85. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And I didn't ask who would like to go first. Who would like to go first? Tula would like, I think.
Hi, everybody.
Speak into the microphone, Dr. Tula.
My name is Tula Carrasco. I'm an alcoholic.
Tula.
And I have a home group, and that is the High Street Group of Portsmouth. I believe it's one of the older groups. It was founded in September of 1948, and we meet on the corner of King Street and Washington in Old Town. So typical AA, it's the High Street Group that doesn't meet on High Street. So, welcome everybody. That meets on Sundays and Thursdays at 7:30, and everybody is welcome. Step 11, first thing it says is that we have definite and valuable suggestions. And it says it would be easy to be vague on this matter. What does that even mean, prayer and meditation? I'm an alcoholic. I want the answers. Where's the money step? Where's the house step? Where's the relationship step? What is this prayer and meditation crap? You know? So my sponsor had to explain to me that if alcohol was my higher power, then I needed a new higher power. And that if I didn't have one, I could borrow hers just for a little while until I could find one of my own, because the God of my understanding killed my mother, who died of alcoholism, untreated alcoholism, at the age of 39. And I thought God did that. So I didn't want any parts of that God. You know, screw you. And I had to get a new attitude and outlook on life. And this step, I believe, I used way in the beginning, before I ever knew about the other steps. Because I was told that you can use this step anytime for comfort, and later on for many other reasons. So definite and valuable suggestions, those seven questions that I ask at night, I was told to get an 11th step buddy and call her every night, or she called me. And I remember I did this with a police officer in Richmond. Man, that was an interesting experience. So I would say, have you been resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? She'd say, hell to the yeah. You know, excuse me for cussing. And then we would exchange what had happened that day. And then, do we owe an apology? Yes. Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Often the answer was yes, especially in early recovery. I stayed real close, you know, like white on rice, to my sponsor. I was in the pocket of my sponsor. I went everywhere she went. I went to a meeting every single day because I was unemployable back then. And I'm really glad I did. And to this day, I still believe that the words in this book have never let me down personally, and I'm still sober. And my sobriety date is November 27th, 1991. And I believe it is because of the power of these steps. I could say a lot more, but I think I'll be quiet now.
Scott.
My name is Scott, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Scott.
I was just going to listen. I'm comfortable listening today. That's an amazing thing. The formalities. My sobriety date is July 10th, 06. I have a home group, principals group in Chesapeake, and I'll make a quick announcement. We're celebrating the 6-year anniversary next Tuesday. Eating starts at 6:30, speaker close to 8, quarter to 8. So come on out and see us. If you don't know where it is, just ask me or Jim. He's back there watching me. At least that's what I think. step 11. To be honest with you, when I first got sober and I started working through these steps, I had no concept whatsoever of a power greater than myself, because I was it. You know, I was definitely it, and I was doing such a good job with my life, I don't think I really needed a one. But I couldn't stop drinking, I couldn't stay out of jail. That's how good a life I was doing. I was living, you know, that's what I thought. I made all my own decisions. I didn't have to ask anybody nothing because I was over 18 and I wasn't locked up. I was on probation, of course, at 40 years old, and had been for quite a number of years. You know, I can remember a judge telling me years ago I wasn't safe on the streets without proper supervision. I said, "What are you talking about? What are you talking about?" I worked through these steps with a sponsor, probably my first year. I got to step 11, and I faked a lot of it, you know, because I still had no conception. See, because when I was working through these steps, AA was still my higher power, because I knew that as long as I made 1, 2, 3, 4 meetings a day, I was safe, because I was scared to death. You want to know the truth? My sponsor would tell me, he says, "Scott, an alcoholic alone is in bad company." That's and right. I didn't understand what he was saying. I said, "What do you mean, man? There's nobody around to tempt me." You know? Because I was still not taking responsibility for my own actions. That's what the steps taught me. But as I practice these things, I get a better understanding of them. And I can tell you today, you know, I found that higher power. You know, and he's in my life, and I do my best with prayer and meditation that I can. And when I don't do it, then I tend to suffer. So I know what I got to do to get back in that position. And that's just a blessing, you know, because I never had that, you know, being my own higher power. You know, I always messed up. I always had to beat the shit out of myself because I was doing wrong. And, you know, and then I could drink it away, but I took away the drink. You know, the forgiveness, that's how I would forgive myself. I just drank, you know. Would blame it on it, you know. I was drunk, no big deal. You know, but as I grew up in Alcoholics Anonymous, my whole life started to change, and I started accepting responsibilities for my actions, you know, even when they are wrong, and they are, occasionally. You know, occasionally. But this is a good way to get focused, get back in line, you know, let God know that, you know, that's a big thing I had to learn, that God forgives. You know, the God of my understanding, I'm going to say God a lot, the book tells me to. And the God of my understanding is a forgiving God. And that's hard for me to understand at first, but I know that today, the more I pray and the more I try to meditate, that I can receive forgiveness, and then it makes it able for me to forgive myself, which is really the hard part. So I think I'm done, and I'm going to listen to her read a little bit. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, we're on page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here, we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we've tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it.
I was sponsored that I only introduced myself once. So if you didn't catch my name, tough. Just kidding, my name's Tula. So these are specific instructions for somebody that had no structure, for somebody that was like a flailing whale on the high seas. I mean, I was just didn't know if I was coming or going. I did whatever I wanted, when I wanted, and I didn't have any direction at all. In fact, I thought that was freedom, to not have a direction, to be free to do what I want. If I want to go to jail, I'll be free to go to jail tonight. And I'm free to be unemployed and unemployable, and I'm free to walk because my car, who could keep up with a car payment? I couldn't towards the end. So these definite and valuable suggestions, first I have those seven questions at night, and then I have every morning on awakening. On awakening, that means Bob Darrell will say this, and so will Don Major. Before we peed, before you have a cigarette, if you still smoke cigarettes, before you go get that cup of coffee, on awakening, we think about the 24 hours ahead, and we consider our plans for the day, and we ask. And I was taught that we ask means we pray. Anytime, pretty much anytime it says we ask, it means we pray. And it says we ask a lot in this 11th step. So the way that I understand it, my minimal, limited understanding, is that I need to pray a lot and then be quiet and wait for the answers. Because as long as I understand that I know nothing, I got a good shot at staying sober today. And this 11th step helps me to stay humble, which is an unnatural state for an alcoholic. That's been my experience. So I ask God to direct my thinking, because my thinking is where the problem is. You know, if alcohol was the problem, I'd just put it down, I'd be done, right? But alcoholism is the problem, not alcohol. And so it's that mental obsession that sooner or later my mind, my magic magnifying mind, will bring me right back to a drink. Oh, it's been 23 years. Tula, surely you can have a drink. You can cash in that 401k. Who needs a car anyway? You know, you can go on a big bender. My mind will occasionally go there. And see, that's how I know that I'm still an alcoholic, but I am recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. I have a body that can't handle alcohol and a mind that tells me I can. And that's a hopeless condition to be in. That's alcoholism. And I'm recovered from the hopeless condition, but I still need help because my magic magnifying mind still doesn't work right. And left to its own devices, as Scott said, I might go off on some crazy idea. And if I don't check in with my sponsor, I also have a service sponsor because I've been very active in service all through recovery, and I just recently assumed another service position. And I need a lot of handlers, like our new delegate, Chris Wells, when she was presented to the winter meeting to all the officers of the Virginia area. There are about 10 past delegates right there who come every assembly, and they all quietly took their chairs and sat right in front of her. She just started laughing. She said, I need a lot of handlers. And then they quietly took their chairs and went back. I thought it was a wonderful statement of her own humility that she knows she needs lots of guidance. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. And an alcoholic sober but without guidance and without a higher power, I think is, I don't know, I don't want to know what that's like. I don't want to find out. So I'm going to stay close to this book, and I'm going to ask God. I pause when agitated or doubtful. I pause a lot. And I go, okay, God, what's an intuitive thought or action? Because that pause button right there has saved me from thousands of times of putting insert mouth, insert foot, insert open mouth, insert other foot, you know? And I still make mistakes. Probably make at least 10 mistakes a day or maybe more. But today I don't drink over them. And I just keep on stumbling forward in the right direction. And I'm very, very glad. And thank you for asking me to come here tonight. I love everybody here. I may not know you yet, but I love you. Thanks.
I go to bed at night. That's an amazing thing. About the same time. That's the amazing thing. Roughly between 10:30 and 11 o'clock. And I get up about 5:30. You know, I got guys that come to my house roughly around 7:30. So in that 2 hours, I wake up to a meditation CD. It comes on at 6. But usually I'm awake before that. Since I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous, I can tell you I haven't used an alarm clock any. I don't need it. You know, because I look forward to waking up today. You know, I like the quiet in the mornings. It seems to work for me. You know, and the first thing I think about is not God. It's me. You know, that's what makes me know I'm exactly where I need to be. And then I go on. I listen to this meditation CD, and I know it pretty much by heart. I've been listening to it for about 4 or 5 years now. And shoot, my dogs are there. They listen to it. They just they'll lay right there. I tell you something funny. When they come in, when I come home sometimes, I'll go listen to that meditation CD, and I'll let them in the house, and I'll say, let's go meditate. And they run right in the bedroom, man. They're looking at the bed. It's the coolest thing. Because you know? They know they're going to get some sleep. It puts them right out. But back to my mornings. The mornings are peaceful. You know, I live by myself. It's me and my dogs. And my head starts. It's already started, you know. It's just running constantly. Mm-hmm. And it's going, and it's going, and I'm walking out, and I'm thanking God, when you gonna kick in, when you gonna kick in, something's gonna kick in, and I get back to my bedroom, and I'll sit there for a minute. You know, that's when I start saying, okay, I need to do this, and I can be honest with you, sometimes I'll get on my knees, and most of the times I don't. I just sit there. I do floors for a living, and I'm making a big excuse right now, but sometimes I don't want to get on my knees. Because they're sore. But I say the third step prayer. You know, I bet I haven't missed it a handful of times since I've been sober, since my sponsor made me memorize it. And I use that throughout the day a lot, you know, in the seventh step prayer. And then I think of the one in the St. Francis prayer where it says, rather to comfort than to be comforted. And that's what I need to remember, you know. That's how I get out of thinking about me and beating myself up so bad, is I think about you, you know. Even though you are what really pisses me off, I still got to think, how can I help you, you know. And I ask God for guidance and the proper direction and the proper motives. And I'm, you know, I'm still me, and I do what I want to do most of the time, and you know, it doesn't turn out so good. But throughout the day, I know where I can go back to get that comfort. You know, that's my ease and comfort now. This is where I get it. This step, you know, and the 12th step, helping another alcoholic. You know, it tells us in the next chapter, nothing ensures us. Then extensive work with an alcoholic. And I believe that. You know, like Tula was saying, I'm all wrapped up in service work too. I just found my niche in AA, I guess you would call it. And that's what I do. You know, I enjoy going into prisons today, mainly because I get to walk out. But
that's right.
But I like sitting in there with them guys because I'm one of them, you know. No, there's nothing in front. You know, we can take everything off and talk. And that's what I like about the service. I did a lot of detox work, you know, because I'm one of them. You know, I don't ever want to forget that. I just had a friend of mine, you know, I just got him out of detox. I let him stay in my house. He's heading to South Carolina, to Georgia. He never made it, missing in action. Mm. You know, what can I do? I can pray. I pray for him, you know. It tells me right here, never pray for myself, except for if I may be able to help somebody.
That's right.
You know. And I got to remember this stuff, because I'll forget it. If I'm not sitting in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous 4 or 5 nights a week, and I'm not talking to guys 4 or 5 or daily basis all the time about something in AA, or just bullshitting with them about our lives, how they've changed, then I'm subject to go back the old way, man. And I slip sometimes, but I know how to get back focused. That's the good thing about it. God gave us brains. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when we're thinking clearly, cleared of wrong motives. I can be cleared from wrong motives and still do them. But I don't realize it till I've made an error, I guess you would say, till there's a situation that I've actually done, and I say, wait a minute, I don't think I had, my motives weren't clear at the time. I don't know if that makes any sense, but my problems come from me. They come from me. This is not nothing to do with anybody else. You know, I could walk away. I could take simple steps and just not be a part of it. But for some reason, I stay in situations that aren't good to me. You know? But then I can come out of them somehow and then, you know, talk to my sponsor about it and pray. And God is good to me, and He always has been when I let Him. What used to be a hunch or an occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. I heard that alcoholics, this is how I thought. When I come into AA, I was very negative, and sometimes I can be. But that's normal. From what I understand, for an alcoholic getting sober, you know, it's always going to the worst. It's never going to work. You know, just like it says in the spiritual experience, contempt prior to investigation. I stay in that mode. Everything's bad. Nothing's good. Nothing's going to happen that's going to fulfill what I really need. It just sucks, man. You know, no matter how many, that's a good job. Wait a minute, something's going to happen. I don't have that today. You know, and when I hear people, I try to boost them up. That wasn't me, you know, prior to Alcoholics Anonymous. What I would do is beat you down so I would feel better. You know, I don't want that today. You know, I really, really, really want people to feel good. You know, I'm all about cracking a few jokes and getting a smile on your face and making people laugh. That's my thing, too. I like doing that. You know, if you're feeling bad, it's hard for me to feel bad. I want to pick you up. Sometimes I do it too much, and like, it's not funny, Scott. I get that on occasions too, but it happens. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. And that's exactly what the book tells me I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of beat you down, I want to bring you up. I want to tell you it's going to be all right, because somebody told me that. You know, the day I got out of jail and I got in the car with my sponsor and I didn't go to 7-Eleven and steal a beer like I normally did. And I called him and he picked me up and two other guys from AA that night. They took me out and he says, it's going to be all right. You know, I did something I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I had no idea that I'd be sitting in a program called Bridging the Gap some years later. But I was doing that. And I know the statistics from as I leave jail or an institution and get to an AA meeting, I got an 80% chance of staying. Every day I lose from that is 20% off. So if I'm 5 days out, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. I barely got a shot. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know that when I was doing it. I had no idea. You know, I just remember them telling me when I was in jail, because I had been reading the book with other inmates in there for 4 months this last time, and they said, Scott, it's time to go. And I was like, oh, shit. Then when that door opened, I was scared. You know? I don't have them fears no more. You know? By working these steps, I was relieved of that. That's gone. Not only the thought of drinking. The thought of drinking pops in, but that mental obsession that she was talking about, and it talks about in the book.
It's gone.
It's gone. I don't know where it went. I know I don't want it back.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
But it just went away with a lot of other things that I did that made me think like that, you know. When they told me that the alcoholism was centered in my brain, I had no idea what they were talking about. You know, they had no idea what AA was about. But I knew everything there was when I got here. But I just kind of ramble off. Step 11 is very important to me today, and it wasn't when I first got here. And it is the last 3 or 4 years my main source of being all right with myself and probably being all right with you, you know, because I pray throughout the day. You know, when life's going good, I say, thank you, God. When life's going bad, I say, thank you, God. Because I know something better's going to come through. I need to get through situations. Mm-hmm. I don't need to run from nothing no more. You know, my life is different. I always have different outcomes, but I want to go back to the negative, like I said before, and that's all changed, man. Life is just good, and I think I'm done. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to be on page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why.
Man, there's that ask word again. We ask, we ask, we ask, we pray, we pray, we pray. The next right thing is the only thing that I need to really know. And this breaks it down to me neither being 1 minute in the future nor 1 minute in the past, but being here. And I've never been here before. I've always been there or back there or 12 years in the future, or what am I going to do when I'm 90? What if I'm homeless? Oh my God, what will I do? That's where my brain goes. Or, gee, why did I do that 40 years ago to that poor person, that schlub? Why did I say that? That's where my brain goes. I don't know how to be here. And this 11th step is very, very good at giving me direction to be here and to pause when agitated. So it tells me exactly what to do, and it tells me exactly what to say, to pray all throughout the day to be shown what is my next step to be. The next right action is all I need to do. What is my next right action, man? That I could, even I can do that, you know, because I can complicate a piece of toast, let me tell you. So The fact is that for me, the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, the 12 concepts, they're all action. And none of them ask me to think, feel, or believe anything, because that's what my problem is how, what I think, what I believe, and you know, all of that is up here in my brain, like Scott was saying. So drinking is not a thought. I didn't think myself drunk. I drank myself drunk. And that's an action, and that requires me lifting my elbow and getting close to my lips and putting something wet down there, you know, swallowing it. Those are all simple actions over which I do have 100% ability to do or not do. So it was explained to me that the steps are a series of actions that I can take regardless of what my brain is telling me. Over the loud veto of my own brain, I can go to a meeting every day, especially if I don't want to. Over the loud veto of my brain, I can answer a phone call even if I don't want to. Over the loud veto of my alcoholism, my alcoholic brain, I can do the next right action. And you know what? Thank goodness for the 12 steps, because out there swinging in the breeze with no direction, a hopeless alcoholic, which is a progressive and fatal illness, you know, I was heading for the grave, for an early grave like my mother. And instead, here I am, 65 years old and sober. I'm like, holy crap, how did this happen? How did this happen, you know, that I'm sober? I've outlived my mother, I don't even know how many years, is it 26 or something like that? Okay, almost, isn't that amazing? That's Alcoholics Anonymous. And all I have to do is show up, suit up and show up, and do what it tells me to do, just like I drank, which is an action. It's an action to drink, and it's an action to get sober. Ain't got nothing to do with what I think. In fact, what I think is in the way. And boy, when that got clear to me, it saved my life, and it changed everything. It changed everything. It no longer mattered what I thought. And I've said this before, that my opinions might kill you, but my experience might save my life. Might save not just my life, Freudian slip, but your life. And the longer I stay sober, the fewer opinions I try to have, and maybe I recognize a little more, gee, Tula, you really got a lot of opinions. You know, every year I'm more aware of that and more humbled by how much I still have to learn and how much I still have to do. And like Scott said, if I'm the problem, then I can't be the solution. If I'm the problem, then you're the solution. And it's not natural for me to think about you. Enough about you, back to me. You know, it's natural for me to be completely obsessed with Tula. In fact, I may not be much, but I'm all that I think about. You know, we've all heard that. And today I can occasionally catch myself thinking, oh yeah, I haven't thought about myself for like a whole hour. Holy crap, how did this happen? A whole hour. You know, I couldn't have gone 1 minute without being obsessed with what does Tula need, want, before. And now, isn't that amazing? Now that's a miracle, if I can go a whole hour. And you know what? Sometimes when I'm at work, because I happen to be very, very lucky to have work that I just love. I would do it for free. I can't quite afford to do it for free, but I love my work. It's not even work. And sometimes I go a whole day and go, wow, you know what happiness is? It's a byproduct of helping others. Happiness is not a goal at all. It's not even what I thought it was. Because when I'm not thinking about myself, that's when I'm happy. Duh. So I think I'm going to keep doing this, because it says we may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. And I certainly did waste a lot of time asking for that bright red Ferrari that Don Major talks about. Please, God, send me a bright red Ferrari. And today, I just asked that, please let me get out of the way so that you can use me. Please let me be useful. And I can't wait to find out what that means, you know, one day at a time. Today it means going through the tunnel and coming over here to the dark side. I mean, to Norfolk. From Portsmouth, where I live now. And I'm very glad to be here. And if anything I say, if I say one little thing that is maybe makes a light bulb go off, then I'm really glad that I came tonight. And I want to one more thing say about Scott, that I think if Bill and Bob were, this is an opinion, if Bill and Bob were alive today, they'd be in prison. They'd be anywhere there are sick alcoholics who are still suffering. They'd be in the county jails. They'd be in the treatment centers, where there are, you know, there's so much chaos and suffering. That's where they'd be. And so, you know, the firing line of life, that's why we're sober. I'm not sober to be comfortable. I'm sober because I can now be of service. And as no other person can, I can talk to another alcoholic and help them. That's why I'm here, not to get comfortable. Wow. That's just an extra benefit of all of this. So there's a purpose for my life. Holy macaroni, I didn't know that. And I can't wait to find out what I'm going to be like when I grow up, you know, if it's God's will. And today I know that God didn't kill my mother. God to me spells gathering of drunks. And because this is where I found that higher power that saved my life. And I know that untreated alcoholism kills drunks every day. And so I'm very grateful to report that today I have practiced this treatment for alcoholism, and I'm going to keep doing it. Thanks.
So tomorrow's my 49th birthday, and I can tell you I never planned on living this long. And 30 tops. 30 tops. All my friends started dying at 33. The ones I really, really hung out with. The ones I grew up with. The ones I done drugs with and alcohol. The ones I started off. The people that are just like me. You know, my best friends in the world died in 1 year. 1999, you know, three of them went. And at every funeral, I was late because I was out in the car doing what I do. Mm-hmm. And then people would look at me just, and then say, you're next. We're coming to yours next. And I was like, I hope it's soon. Because it really sucks living like this now by myself completely. Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember times when I'd try to stay up all night, you know, till 2-3 in the morning, and just be nodding out, and you know, from the other substances I was using, and because I knew it was gonna happen if I fell asleep. I knew it was gonna happen. I'd wake up, mm-hmm. and I'd have to live this day all over again. It was nonstop. Every day was the same. Every single day was the same. Alcoholics Anonymous gave me a life that was unimaginable. You know, I still pinch myself sometimes, wonder who the hell this is, you know. And like Tula was saying, I can go back and just beat myself up. I just like that phrase, beat myself up. Yeah. I beat myself up about stuff I did 20 years ago. Where does that come from?
Ego.
You know, who would think of stuff like that but an alcoholic? That's what I'll do, and I can sit in that crap for as long as I want to, you know? And then it's so easy, I could just think about next week, oh, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, you know? And I had this one guy who was a sponsor, my friend, a good buddy of mine, you know? He used to tell me, shut up, idiot, you could die today. Because I'm planning next week. He said, you'd be dead today, man. And I never thought of that, but, you know, that's the truth. We're not guaranteed nothing. I'm not guaranteed another second of life, you know. But in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, they gave me a life that I hope I get another second. I like I said, I like waking up. I didn't like waking up. You know, how does that change from one extreme to the other? How does the negative turn into the positive? You know, how does worrying about what I'm going to get suddenly turn into worrying about what you're going to get?
Yep.
You know, how does that happen? You know, my experience is these 12 steps in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous changes everything. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't change me. I mean, it changed me completely. It didn't change that I just don't drink no more. You know, I don't do nothing like I used to. I do some things like I used to. I don't do stuff the way, and I got a conscience today. That's something I swore I never had because I could drink it away. That's the only reason I didn't have a conscience back then, because I was drunk. Mm-hmm. You know, I was I can tell you, I drank beer as soon as I woke up till I passed out every night for at least about 12 years of my life. You know, all through my 30s, and I did other substances, and some of y'all might know I was addicted to the main opiates, you know, I liked that. I did all the other crap that come along with it. You know, and I did whatever I had to do to maintain not being sick. for about 10 years, and I did a lot of bad stuff out there. But my life is different. You know, and that's all my sponsor promised me if I come to Alcoholics Anonymous. He did not say it'd get better. He did not say it'd get worse. He told me it'd get different. That's my experience. You know, my case got better. Got really better. You know? I still don't understand it. It keeps getting better. You know? But I keep doing Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't know how you do Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I read literature. I read literature with guys. I start meetings. I go to meetings. I go to service work. I pray to this God that I used to didn't know nothing about. Still don't know much today, but I know he's there. I have faith. I have trust. You know, I don't have much trust in my decision making. Still, you know, without a prayer, I don't do nothing. I really don't. If I do it without a prayer, I usually gotta suffer. You know, I usually suffer. And when I'm working with other guys and I try to explain that to them, it's hard to explain, you know. And I go back and I tell them, I say, look, I don't know how you're gonna get sober. I really don't. You know, I really have no idea how anybody gets sober. Because the ones, I can just imagine what my sponsor went through with me, watching me try to get sober. My first sponsor actually was there when I relapsed for hopefully the last time. And I was working for him. And I can remember calling him because he owed me some money. I said, man, I just need that check. He said, well, come see me. I said, no, just leave it with the guy, at, you know, at the door. Anybody but you. You know? The embarrassment, the guilt, the shame. It's terrible to relapse, man. It sucks. You know, but the good news is that goes away. And that's what they told me when they picked me up out of jail. The way you feel right now is going to go away. And it has. And when I get guys that come out of jail, I say, the way you feel right now is going to go away. It does. You know, I do, like I said, I am my meditation. I do the third step prayer. I do the seventh step prayer on occasions. I'm not good at that one, but I'm pretty consistent on the third step. And I ask God to let me be able to help others. You know, show me how to help another human being today. What can I do? And then I go to work, and I got a couple guys who work with me that drive me up a freaking wall. But at the end of the day, I let that go, you know, and I'll try to push it back up. Come on, man, let's go, you know. I see what you've done to yourself. You feel bad, you feel guilty, but then I got to be a boss, too, you know, and that's a tough one there. My sponsor says, I ain't got no dog in that fight. Good luck with that. But it works, you know, it really works. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others may be helped, that's what I just said. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish sins. That's something I had to practice not doing. You know, God, let me have a driver's license back, please. So I learned how to bargain with God. I said, I'll go pick up alcoholics and take them to meetings. Give me my license back. And I knew I wasn't getting them back. I eventually got them back. You know, and I had the blow and go in there for a year. I didn't mind that. You know, for one whole year, it didn't bother me. I didn't drink. I remember pulling up to, I used to be, my first home group was Many Strange Camel Men's Big Book Study over here in Norfolk. And I remember pulling up in that with the breathalyzer on there and all the guys looking at me. And then I seen new guys coming in and they had it and I'm looking at them and I'm like, you know, it works. AA works. You got to blow and go. You're an AA.
That's right.
If you can get it off successfully, you've recovered. That's the tough part, getting it off. But if you don't drink, you don't got to worry about that. Thanks.
Thanks. Let's see. I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs here. Page 87. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does.
Wow. Well, this paragraph contains the 11-step promises, and the way I was sponsored, there are promises attached to each of these steps. I mean, there's so many promises in here, I don't even know how many there are. It seems like almost every sentence is a promise. And there are some negative promises also. But it says that we are then in much less danger. And then it lists a whole bunch of things. Well, I didn't realize it, but I was in mortal danger when I drank. I was in absolute mortal danger because I drank without a brain. And, you know, the cerebral cortex was shut down. There was nothing but motor cortex with feet. I was, you know, that's kind of scary to think. I drove a car like that, completely in a blackout, got home and suddenly came to, and I'm like, oh, I'm home. How did that happen? That is not something that amuses me to tell you today. And I did kill a dog once because I couldn't break in time. And I cried and cried and cried. And all I can tell you now is that I drive carefully and I drive sober today. But I'm not in danger today. That's how it feels. I do feel safe and protected. Like the 10th step promises talk about, you know, feel safe and protected. The problem has been removed. We've not even sworn off. Instead, it's been removed. It does not exist. We're neither cocky nor afraid. Now, for me to say I'm not cocky, are you kidding me? I'm cocky personified most of the time. But, you know, it says that I'm going to be changed by the 12 steps, and that has happened. I'm not the same person that walked in these doors back in the early 90s. And they used to say in old-time AA, Jim probably remembers this, the old man will drink again. They used to say that. And what that means is that if I don't change, I'm going to drink again. That is a negative promise. So I'm happy to report that I am not the same person. And I didn't know I had been changed by the steps. It was my family and my friends, especially my family, that said, you know, Tula, there's something different about you. To think that I can ask all the time, all the day through, action, action, action. What am I supposed to do? What's my next right move? What's my next right action? And keep it that simple. Then I'm not going to get in trouble because I'm just alive and I'm present and I can be useful to a 7-Eleven clerk, or I can be useful to the guy in the next lane trying to get over, and I can go, yeah, come on, get in. You know, to me, that's what being sober is being useful everywhere, not just in Alcoholics Anonymous, but everywhere. In fact, if I'm a saint in Alcoholics Anonymous and a jerk everywhere else, I don't think that's sobriety. I think, I don't know what that is, but sobriety, maybe Val would call it. But if being sober to me means practicing these principles everywhere, everywhere, especially when it's uncomfortable and inconvenient. So, thy will be done, and it works, it really does, is the shortest paragraph in the big book. I'm so very grateful that to tell you that these promises have come true for me. I have more energy now than I did 20, 25 years ago. We do not tire so easily, for we're not burning up energy foolishly. That has absolutely come true. I can't even tell you. I can work a 16, 18-hour day and go home and do what I got to do at home and go to sleep for maybe 6 hours and wake up and, like, ah, you know, be grateful to be alive And I don't know where that energy comes from, but it doesn't come from me. It comes from someplace else, because I ask, how can I be helpful? Every day that I remember to ask, how can I be helpful? And then the byproduct of that is that I think about you. And that becomes more and more natural. And my thinking is cleared of wrong motives, because my motives are horrible. My motives are always about, what can I get out of it? What can you give me? What can you do for me? And what's in it for me? That's my motives, without God, without these steps, without these principles. So if I keep practicing these principles, then gradually, tiny bit at a time, incrementally, I have a slight piece of my brain that's not obsessed with Tula. Oh, you know what a relief that is? And that's why I'm not so tired. It's exhausting to think of yourself all the time. It's exhausting to be constantly concerned with what I need. And it is much less exhausting to think about what you need and how can I be of service to you, even though it's inconvenient. And as my sponsor said, if it ain't inconvenient, it ain't service. I wish I had better news. You know, but actually, I think that's good for alcoholics, because, you know, we stay busy. In fact, the people that I know in Alcoholics Anonymous are busy, busy people in the best possible way. They may not have cars. They may not have the ability to drive zip, zap, zoop around town, but they can still be of service using the phone. Right, Susan? Or writing letters to people in prison and then meeting them when they get out. Right, Susan? Right, Michelle? That's right. So whatever we can do, it doesn't have to be driving a limousine and picking up 12 alcoholics. It can be as simple as picking up the phone and calling somebody and say, hey, how you doing? And asking them how they're doing. Now ask me if I ever did that before. No. No, I'd be waiting for people to call me and say, why hasn't anybody called me? You know, and today everything is different. I'm so grateful it's different. So hopefully I said something interesting or useful to you. Thank you.
Thy will be done, not Scott's. That's a good thing to live by if I could do it. If I could do it all the time. I was just sitting here thinking of something really funny to say and I forgot. So
I do that all the time.
I just look around. You know, I say, my prayers are, I say, please in the morning, God, help me stay clean and sober today. Sometimes just being in the beginning, of just saying that was a step in the right direction. Then I was taught to say thank you at night. And then I got a list of prayers, and I pray for everybody in here tonight. And I pray for the guys who work for me, and I pray for my parents, I pray for my sister. And I got a list that I go down. That was new to me. And I can remember back as a little kid, you know, this is some of the prejudices I had to let go of, was my mother teaching me how to pray. You know, now I lay me down to sleep. Pray my Lord, my soul to keep. That makes sense to me today. Yeah, I just memorized it as a kid, 4 or 5 years old, however long. I was probably drinking at the time. But I just was taught to memorize it. But now I can understand it. When we say the Lord's Prayer, I understand it. You know, I understand it. I understand the Serenity Prayer. Big help in the beginning. Big help today. Mm-hmm. Big help. Thy will be done, not Scott's. I got to remember that. And I struggle with it at times, you know, because in my chaotic world that I created in a matter of minutes, you know, I gotta chill out sometimes, and my forgetter wants to go on the forgetting part and not remember that I have turned this thing over. And if when I get back to that, because so far I've been lucky, I've been coming back a lot. Things seem to work out all right. Things seem just the way they're supposed to be. You know, I'm not obsessed with having to change the world to suit me anymore. You know, just part of time anyway. I like being a part of, you know. I woke up this morning, the actual first thought in my head this morning was this meeting, and that's a good, I still think like that, because I can remember in early sobriety, I think how many meetings I, because I mean, I'm telling you that 99 I never heard of in my life. I went to 4 or 5 meetings a day for a very long time. You know, I went to both fellowships. I mean, if you're into it, do whatever. But I was safe. Mm-hmm. You know, I was safe. That is one thing I try to get through to the guys I work with is get your butts at the meetings and don't be the alcoholic alone in bad company. Mm. You know, and start by saying please in the morning and thank you at night. You know, we'll get to the rest later. You know, I'm not in no hurry to recover from whatever I have. I like recovering. You know, I don't debate the recovered and the recovering. I don't care about that. I like to practice it. You know, I like to practice these principles. I like to get them wrong sometimes, which I do a lot. But if I didn't get stuff wrong, how am I going to learn something different? You know, so my life has completely transformed. I'm not the same person I was, you know, almost 9 years ago. And it's a good life. It's a good way to live. Thanks.
Well, that's a fantastic meeting. I'd like to thank our speakers, Tula and Scott. We're going to pass the seventh tradition basket. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. The amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world. I have an announcement for this wonderful home group right here. Our second speaker will be Monday, February the 9th. We're going to have, woohoo! It's going to be lots of food and lots of fun. That is, if you bring a dish, so we have lots of food and lots of fun. Sammy G's coming from Richmond. She'll be speaking at 6 o'clock. We'll be eating at 6 o'clock. I'm sorry, we'll be eating at 6 o'clock, and she'll be speaking at 7 o'clock. We'll let her eat first. We have flyers over on the table. Any other announcements from the group? And Scott, we'll just say again, Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, the 27th Principals Group on the corner of Greenbrier and Kempsville Road at the Harvest Assembly of God, 6:30. I expect everybody there.
That's 525 Kempsville Road, in case you don't know.
All right, thank you. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining this home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hand. All right. Newcomers. That's why we have these meetings. This is not to embarrass you, but is there anyone in their first 30 days? Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Matthew. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Matthew. Welcome.
Welcome.
Anyone else? Yes.
My name is Mike. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mike. Mike. Welcome. Welcome. Glad you're here. Okay. We do have literature. There's books for sale, and there's pamphlets and anything you can fold for free over there, meeting lists. Sponsorship. Sponsorship is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. Anyone willing to be a sponsor, please raise your hand. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship in AA, we have Catherine and Evan also up here at the table after the meeting. If you have any questions, please feel free to talk to them. Okay, the smokers that are still smoking, please use the butt cane provided outside and stay well away from the front door because there are other groups that are using the church tonight. This meeting is recorded. We have all of our meetings are audio recorded, and the upcoming events are also on our website, which is simpleactions.net. We also have an email list starting for our upcoming supper and speaker and any kind of events that we would be putting on. Feel free to sign up over on the literature table. And in closing, please thank Tula and Scott again.
Yay, us.
Thanks to all who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on step 11 discussed tonight at the meeting after the meeting, which is held at a lovely International Pancake House on the corner of Granby and 21st Street, IHOP. They love us there. Come and have some fun with us. And who would like to read the last two paragraphs on page 164?
I got it.
All right, Evan.
My name's Evan. I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah. Hi, Evan.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourselves to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God keep you and bless you until then.
Thank you. All right, and we'd like to close with the Lord's Prayer.
Nice. Nicely done.
That's it, great.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.